It's the Real Roots Radio podcast, on-demand content highlighting the best information and entertainment from the Real Roots Radio team. Here's Daniel Mullen sitting down with one of today's top music makers on Real Roots Radio.
Glad to have Mojo on the air today on Real Roots Radio. How are you doing today, Stephen?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for the great new music. My friend and yours, Rick from California, I think I saw on Facebook where he said that tune there makes him just want to ride down the coast. New music, I'm Going to Ride, from Stephen Mojan. And you wrote that song with our buddy Rick Lang, correct?
That's right. You know, Rick and I have been, we're both from the Northeast. He's New Hampshire. I'm originally from Massachusetts, and I had heard about him all while growing up and playing music, but I never met him until I moved to Nashville. And since I've been in Nashville, we've worked on a bunch of different things together. I've done a lot of songwriter demos for him. We did a Christmas record a couple of years ago that was a little bit acoustic, a little bit jazz, all kinds of stuff. And we've just been really good pals for years now. And when he's in town, we try to write a tune nearly every time, and this one has just been sitting in the drawer for years. I don't remember exactly which year we wrote this one, but it was, if you know Rick Lang, you know what a positive, upbeat, really great guy he is, and he's really inspirational in the way he approaches life. He's just passionate about everything he does. And the day we sat down to write that, I was having some doubts about some of the that was the right move, or if I was taking time away from me as an artist and time away from my family and so on and so forth. And we sort of chatted through it, and then this song came out, and the song really is about me deciding to up and do stuff like doing this record, just deciding to dig in and do it. There's a line in there I love. Is it just the fear of falling or the worry that I might find to fly? I think that's a really intriguing line, because a lot of times we're not afraid of failure. We're actually afraid of success and what you do next. You know, it's okay, if this works, then what do I do? And there's a lot of that kind of fear that really gets in our way a lot of times. So, I was really thankful that Rick was there that day to kind of talk me through all that stuff, and then we got this song out of it, and I was thrilled to have the Sam Bush Band come in and cut on it, and then my lovely wife, Yana, singing the very high part on there. It's icing on the cake.
Now, Mojo, you mentioned, jumping out on faith a little bit and taking a risk. You know, you have worked with some top names in bluegrass, of course, Sam Bush Band for a long time, Audie Blaylock before that. How daunting was it to decide, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a solo record and put it out, and here it is, world. How daunting of an idea and a task was that to try to prepare yourself to do?
Hey, we were talking about, the fear of jumping out on this project, and, I've been a side person for so long, and then with the label and as a producer and engineer and as a teacher, I'm very comfortable being the person helping somebody else do their thing. And I feel very confident in that role. And so putting the music together, I wasn't too afraid of, but just, was I picking the right songs out of the catalog of tunes that I had? It was really strange for me, because when I hear stuff, when I work with other artists, I instantly have an opinion. And with my own stuff, I have trouble being critical on it. And so self-producing is a weird thing. And I'm kind of, I was fortunate that I've got a great bunch of pals around to bounce ideas off. And Yana is such a great musical ear as well. And she's eager to tell me that things are good or not good. So that was helpful in a large number of ways.
And it oftentimes seems that the people that are most supportive and most encouraging have a really hard time as you said, self-criticizing and supporting and encouraging themselves, because you're so used to doing it for others, that to kind of turn that mirror on yourself is just got to be a little bit strange, especially, as you said, as many years as you've done this for other folks.
Yeah, and this is my first commercial released album, which seems odd. I mean, I've been doing this for a very long time. It seems like I should have had something by now, but I started a record in 03, I think, or 04, and one song from that project is on this new record. It's a song I've had on hold for Becky Buller for, you know, however many years that is now. And that made this record. But everything else, I've just grown as a musician and a musical connoisseur. My tastes have changed over the years. And, you know, this record is built of a couple of different cores. Off air, you were talking to me about how interesting that the two singles are very different in style. And really, the Sam Bush Band came in on five tunes. The one you just heard, there's another one that's got, it's a fiddle kind of number that's got that same sort of new grassy beat. And there's some stuff that's a little bit more, a more Americana. Hey, just like the Real Roots Radio, this record is the ABCs of music. We've got the Americana, we've got three real strong bluegrass cuts, and then there's three songs that are straight up, I booked a band to play country music, and that's what you're going to hear on this, the following single. I got live twin fiddles, Laura Horshaw and Becky Buller, sitting across the glass looking at each other, playing lines back and forth and doubling up, and oh man, that was so cool. And then Mike Bubb on bass, specifically hired him on those three tracks for his knowledge of classic country music. He's such a big Bob Moore fan and just knows all about that genre of music. And so I really was cultivating the players for the genre of tunes. I didn't just randomly grab great players, because there's a lot of great players out there, but these folks are really good at this thing. And so that kind of speaks to more of who I am. I like a lot of different kinds of music. My heart and soul is with bluegrass. I grew up playing bluegrass, and as you said, I've played with a lot of great bluegrass artists over the years. But I like other stuff as well, and the new grass sounds and things that lean a little farther away from bluegrass while still being tied to it. I'm really interested in that. But I'm a huge Buck Owens fan, you know, so that all ties together, and that's what this record really is all about. It's a reflection of me and my musical taste.
Well, we love variety here on Real Roots Radio, and especially on the Daniel Mullins Midday Music Spectacular, so you're talking my language. You mentioned a bluegrass background. You mentioned that you were from the Northeast, Massachusetts area, I believe. What was the bluegrass scene like in the Northeast? Because you usually don't think of Massachusetts when you think of bluegrass hotbeds. But the Northeast does have quite a bit of bluegrass tie-ins once you people start digging in.
It does. So I grew up in Western Mass. You know, we had more cows than people, and people think Massachusetts, they think Boston, and that is another planet from where I grew up. And it's interesting, my dad, when I was really young, my dad got interested in playing music, got a guitar, found out he had some old family friends who also played. He'd known them for years but didn't know they played. Started going to some jam sessions where they were playing classic country and bluegrass, all acoustic. And then they introduced us to the bluegrass festival scene. And then, you know, by the time I was 8 years old, we were at a festival every weekend of the summer. Whether that was upstate New York, we traveled, upstate New York. I guess the farthest one we ever went to was the Peaceful Valley Bluegrass Festival in Shinhopple, and that was a huge festival. I saw Bill Monroe did a workshop there and ended up playing my mandolin. I think I was 12.
Oh, wow.
My dad and I got there early to this workshop, And because we didn't want to walk all the way back to the camper, and we were sort of hanging out waiting for him to show up. We were there early. He walked in early, and he said, "Oh, what have you got there?" And so, you know, I'm a kid. I didn't. I got this little A-model Kentucky. I flop it up on the table and hand it to him. And he played it for the entire workshop. And I later found out from my dad that people around were grumbling because they wanted to see his old one up close. but interesting moments like that and just being around and being exposed to some amazing music in that region, up in Maine, over in Connecticut. I mean, I remember seeing Jim and Jesse. I remember seeing the Bluegrass Cardinals. I remember seeing your traditional grass playing up there a bunch of times. And just, man, just so many wonderful. I remember the first time I heard Del McCurry sing. It was across a fairground in Oxford, Maine. And, you know, we were sort of at the campsite, and then all of a sudden this voice just came piercing through everything, and we had to go see what that was. And I remember those vividly. And you wouldn't think of Massachusetts as a central area for that, but really all of New England, you've got folks like Peter Rowan. You know, New England, New York region, that whole up northeast area, you've got the Gibson brothers, you've got Dan Tominski, Bela Fleck, New York, you know, area. And there's a lot of folks, if you go digging Joe Val, of course, there's a lot in bluegrass history from that corner of the world. And when I was growing up, it was kind of strange. There weren't many kids that played. I didn't know, until we got going to festivals, I didn't know anybody my age that played. And it's really funny because the day that I met the Gibson brothers was at the Smoky Green Bluegrass Festival. It was 1988, and some people rounded up three kids, me included, and decided we were going to go work up some tunes and play on an open stage. And so they, a guy named Matt Petroquin, a banjo and bass player up in that area, rehearse this for a couple days, off and on, as you can with a group of kids. And then we were to go up on our open stage slot. And walking up on stage, I crossed Eric and Lee Gibson coming down off stage. We introduced ourselves in the middle of the staircase in 1988 at the Smoky Green Bluegrass Festival. And we've been pals ever since. And this tune is the first time we've ever done anything musical together.
That's got to be extra special, you know, to have it come full circle and to have them on your first solo album all these years later, doing a song that you guys collaborated on. You guys wrote this new song together, didn't you?
We did. Yeah, they called me one day. It was snowing or something, and their travel plans got messed up, and they were in an airport hotel here in Nashville, and they said, "Hey, want to come write a tune?" So I drove over to their hotel. We sat around and knocked out this tune. And it's funny because the song, we lost it for a while, all of us. Then going through some old hard drives and such, I found lyrics. Eric remembered some of the melody, and then we were able to kind of cobble it back together in recent years. But it was a tune I always knew. I think we wrote it in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. But it was a tune I always knew that I wanted to cut because I just thought it was really interesting. It does a couple of interesting things. First of all, it's a country shuffle, so that's fun. It's got a lot of room for those Buck Owens kind of phrases with long notes that can scoop and bend and twist. And the verse starts. It almost feels like you've changed keys into the five. For folks that play and sing, they might know what that means, but it feels like the song changes keys when it goes to the verse, but then it makes it its way back, but it does it in a really easy way, and you kind of, you know it's different, but you don't really know why, and I really like that about the song.
I love hearing you get excited talking about music. And so it's no wonder that you're one of the most in-demand, you know, mentors and band coaches in bluegrass and Americana music, because your passion for the music, how it works, and the level at which you understand what's happening and why it's happening is really inspiring. Is that part of the reason that you're such a beloved mentor in the world of American music and in the world of bluegrass and beyond?
I don't know why folks enjoy working with me on that stuff. I know that there's a couple things that are the core of who I am as a musician and a teacher. As a human, fundamentally, I'm a teacher. That's the thing I do best, and I just can't get away from that. I love sharing things with folks and helping them be their better selves. And so any opportunity that I can combine my passion of bluegrass and Americana music and so on and so forth with the teaching component, it really is a thrill for me. And it's so exciting to work with a group of folks. We do a lot of band coaching here at the house, a lot of family bands, some pro bands. It's really all over the map. Some really beginner groups. There's some that come to me on an annual basis as they progress and change and develop. And it's, it's not unlike my days teaching choir. I was a choir teacher in Massachusetts before I moved down here. My degree is in vocal music education. And so part of that training is the ability to hear a whole bunch of things at once and pick out one or two things that you can address to make it better next time. And so that's, I tie that with my knowledge of bluegrass, the abilities of the ensemble in front of me, and we try to figure out ways to amplify the things that they do well, repair things that they could do better, and just dig into the music in a wholehearted way. And, that's really the key component to the whole thing. If folks are passionate about what they're doing, that comes across, and that makes the music better just by itself. And a lot of folks are not used to the idea of committing to that. Mm-hmm. And so, I love band coaching. It's a really cool portion of what I do, and not unlike what I do in a producer role, helping an artist grow beyond what they thought possible or create a project more than what they thought possible.
You mentioned that you coach and work with a variety of bands and artists at all different levels, all different styles of music. You have a great variety of musical tastes on your album. Why do you think variety is important, and what are some principles that are universal that you apply not just to yourself, but that you teach your students and the bands that you work with? Regardless of whether it's country, Americana, bluegrass, folk, gospel, whatever, what are some constants that you can hang your hat on that apply to any style of music, whatever you're trying to make?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Honestly, it everything, and the deeper you get with music, the more you get to these sort of life lessons. Listen more than you play. That's a great lesson for listen more than you speak. Great life lesson kind of thing. But that's a constant in any style of music. Listen more than you play or sing. Focus on quality. Always focus on quality. Don't let things slide. That's a good life lesson. Do your research. Make sure that if you're doing a classic country tune, you're playing it right. There's not really a good excuse not to in this day and age, especially with the resources available. You've got, your streaming services. You've got things like YouTube. You've got these great radio stations like what you guys are presenting, who are playing a plethora of wonderful music. There's no excuse not to do your research and come at what you're trying to do authentically, from a place of knowledge. It's cool to start your own thing too and know what rules you're breaking, but you kind of have to know what the rules are first, so making sure you're well prepared in that regard. And I think variety in itself is something that I desperately need to keep myself engaged and enthused. If I'm doing the same style of stuff over and over again, I'm not growing, I'm not developing. And in my career and even in within music, I enjoy when I go away from something, I desperately want to come back to it. So for me, if I do some stuff where I'm not doing bluegrass for a minute, I really am anxious to get back to playing bluegrass for a minute. So, you know, if I'm on the road, I'm anxious to get back in the studio to work on something. If I'm in the studio, I'm anxious to do a little teaching. If I'm teaching, I'm anxious to get back on the road. I really like that variety, but that's just the makeup of who I am.
And they say, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and they're not just talking about, you know, a friend or a loved one. They talk about you can apply that to passions and talents as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you come back, there's a thing that we've noticed with the fam band, the first gig back. We always rave about the first gig back. And, you know, we don't go on long hiatus, but, you know, if we haven't played in a month or so or whatever the case may be, we're mostly a weekend band. We do some extended runs throughout the year, but mostly we play weekends. And sometimes we have a month or, you know, the month of December is, we almost never play in December, and sometimes it's late January or sometimes in February when we start the next year. And man, that first gig back, we all hit a bunch of trees musically, but there's so much energy because we're so thrilled to be in that position again, to be able to play. And I can guarantee that when all this is over and we're able to hit that first gig, it's just going to be ridiculous. There's a feeling that you don't have, you kind of don't know how great it was until you haven't had it for a while. I guess that's the core of what you're saying.
Hopefully we'll see you back on stage and on the road soon. Where can folks go to learn more about these two new singles and about the upcoming album from Mr. Stephen Mogen himself?
Absolutely. Well, Dark Shadow Recording is the label. And so darkshadowrecording.com is a place to find out about all of our new happenings. We've got my new record coming out. Becky Buller's new record is coming out. We got a couple other things in the pipeline. And then for me personally, stephenmogin.com, stephenmogin.com. That'll get you there.
For some good mojo, be sure to go check out Stephen Mogin's two new singles. We heard I'm Gonna Ride. Let's hear A Place for a Fool with the Gibson Brothers. Thank you so much for joining us on Real Rich Radio today, Stephen. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Pick your day up with music that is sweet.
A slender, high-spirited person needs a sugar pick-me-up.
The Daniel Mullins Midday Music Spectacular, weekdays 10 to noon on Real Roots Radio.